Hello, welcome to the Detailers Cast. My name is Chris. Today I'm joined by Steve from Menable. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
No, it's a pleasure to have you, and thank you for making the journey up from Milton Keynes Way, is it?
Yeah, not that far. Over cross counties borders, but yeah, we're here.
Welcome to deepest, darkest Banbury.
Yeah, indeed.
Steve, we were really keen to get you invited in today and have a chat with you. I think it's a very worthwhile discussion to have because there's been a lot of challenges over the last year or two for a lot of people in terms of the turmoil that has been COVID-19. Great fun. We seem to be coming out of that, hopefully, fingers crossed, maybe. But then there's also a wider aspect to why we want to have a discussion with you. And it's more around mental health.
Yep.
And in particular, you know, our industry details, it's not particularly an industry that you're familiar with, but the detailing industry is predominantly male, predominantly guys that work on their own in little darkened areas or out in the field. And a lot of businesses have been struggling. So your organization, Menable, is, well, why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, I mean, that was founded out of my own issues because, the detailing industry is not one I'm that familiar with, although I've been in the automotive industry for 35 years.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very aware of, one, that's male-dominated, two, we have a tendency to keep a lid on issues and stuff that's going on. And, of course, everyone has, we all have mental health just as we all have physical health.
Yeah.
But what we're very good at is talking about physical health. You know, if I come in here today with my leg in a cast or, you know, on my arm in a sling, you know, we'd have a conversation about what caused it and what I'd done or how I was recovering or whatever. But mental health is something that we traditionally haven't talked about. Men in particular have a kind of mindset of they want to fix things. And if I can't fix it, what's the point in talking about it?
Yep.
So, you know, put all of that together and what we've ended up with is an industry that has a legacy of not talking about mental health.
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of, to a certain degree, for men, I suppose, in closed speech marks, is that bravado and that putting a front up as well, to a certain degree.
Yeah, I mean, it's the movement Menable started predominantly for men. You know, it was born out of my own issues. Talking to a number of people that I'm connected with, and we said, you know, there must be a need for this and other guys out there that need help and support with whatever that is, you know, whether it's anxieties and stresses, depression, you know, at the very deepest level, crisis, if they're in that, any issues they've got with compulsive behaviors, whatever that might be, you know, and we're all susceptible to that. When we went out to the industry and started talking about it, it was fairly evident that that's not unique to men by any means. But what we also uncovered was that if we are going to make our industry more inclusive and that is more attractive to a wider audience and get more women involved and promote women and so on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What we probably also need to do is to address some of those stereotypical masculine behaviors that actually then at the same time cause some of those issues. And from my own perspective, you know, and this is where I get your audience in particular, you know, I suffered, still suffer very badly with anything relating to loneliness, abandonment, rejection, isolation.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you know, if you live on your own and you work on your own, you know, work is your pretty much your only outlet.
Yes.
You know, so I get it, totally get it. And that's what we're about, is there being a support network, you know, for anyone who's sort of, you know, having struggles, whatever that means for them.
Yeah, and obsessive, compulsive, most of our, I should imagine, at some level, some of our listeners and certainly some of our network, and even myself included, and Lorraine, who works with me, is obsessive compulsive in some form or other. It's kind of the nature of the beast with the detailing world, because we have this desire and this drive to make your car or a customer's car look absolutely perfect, or as best we can. And I know that guys and girls go home from detailing a car and just kind of go, I wish I could just get that last little mark out of the paintwork.
Yeah, yeah.
And that can manifest itself in certainly in different ways. And I think, and I was relaying to you before we started this podcast, that we've had guys contact us from our network over the last year on a number of occasions and kind of said, I'm really struggling at the minute. What do I do? And you know, we're not professionally trained here. We're not here as a counseling service. We're here to help in terms of training and business and stuff like that. But it's something that is very important, because to be successful in any format, you need to be well balanced and successful in yourself, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
Hence why we wanted to engage with yourselves.
Yeah, no, well, thank you. And I mean, you're absolutely right. And, you know, clearly for anyone who's got challenges or issues, you know, there is a route to go down to get counselling, to get therapy. In the UK, that typically is either through the NHS, which can involve a bit of a wait to get in front of somebody, or you can go private, but then that can be quite expensive. So what we wanted to create with Men Able was actually a network where we can kind of look out for each other and talk to each other.
Yep.
And that doesn't involve anyone being qualified. You know, I've had people who've said to me, well, what are your credentials? And I go, I've never done a course. You know, I've never sat any training to do this.
Yep.
But what I've got personally, and this goes for everyone in our team as well, you know, personally, I've got 35 years experience. I've got a load of, in the industry, 20 years of which have been in learning and development. A number of years have been in management. I've run my own business. I've felt lonely and isolated in a room of 500 people where I'm the one on stage doing a whole jazz hands thing. So yeah. I totally get, you know, all of that stuff. And I personally believe that my biggest skill that I have is an empathy and an ability to sit and listen and understand without judging and making assumptions.
Yeah.
And I think you put all of that together. I don't need a certificate or to go on a course to qualify me to do that.
Yeah.
But if somebody feels more comfortable talking to somebody who is qualified, then we've got that in our network as well. But that's what we want to create, is more of those sort of empathic listeners and people who are concerned and interested in each other to be able to support each other.
Yeah.
Because for a lot of people, they're not at crisis. They're not at the point where they would need to reach out. Where they're at is just day-to-day stuff is getting to them, and they just need to know they're not alone, they're not the only one. They've got somebody they can ring up and get some support. You know, maybe if they've got a bit of debt or whatever it might be, they can pick up the phone and go, I'm really struggling with this. Or do that via some sort of messaging, you know, and we don't even have to talk to each other these days.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's at the core of what we're aiming to do with Men Able, is to create that network.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you go back 4 or 5 years or so ago, then speaking about mental health full stop was just, it was just unheard of.
It didn't happen.
At all.
No.
There's in the wider world, it's become more to the forefront and people are more happy to speak about it, which is good, because as you say, you know, we've all had our challenges in the past. You've been very open and sharing with us in regards to some of the challenges you've had, and mm-hmm. I've had my own at points as well, and that includes last year when everything seemed to be falling apart in terms of not long after the first lockdown.
And
you're right, having somebody else there that is pretty much available straight away is important, because what it does is it counterbalances that fear, that it might not be a fear, but whatever it is that you're struggling with at that point, it counterbalances it and counteracts it straight away.
Definitely. And it's a shoulder to shoulder kind of approach. You know, it's about knowing that you've got somebody who gets it, somebody who's on your level. You know, we were talking earlier about, and I jokingly talk about Barry in the parts department. You know, it's funny when I mention that every dealer's got a Barry in the parts department. We all know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, but this typical introvert guy, he's worked in that same area maybe for 10, 20 years. You know, he takes all the banter that's flying around. He doesn't necessarily give it back because that's not his character.
Yep.
He's a very analytical kind of guy. He's maybe obsessed a bit. You know, these are the guys that know every single part number of everything that's ever existed.
Yep.
And so he gets a little bit of stick. Now, you know, I spent time as a dealer principal, and that meant that I strut with my stuff, walking around the business in a suit and tie, you know, looking very glamorous, and to Barry, possibly at opposite ends of the world,
yeah,
you know, to him. So was he going to, you know, in that, as you say, in that environment where we didn't talk about mental health, was he going to reach out to me and talk to me, or was I going to reach out to him? You know, probably not in most cases.
No.
So it's about creating a kind of shoulder to shoulder sort of ethos that, you know, those guys and girls in those businesses can feel that they can talk openly to people. And there's just that general level of empathy and understanding, you know, amongst them. And that's the mission that we're on, is to create that, educate people on that, and ultimately to prevent, you know, any of these issues becoming a crisis for somebody.
Yeah, where a person gets to a point where it's a real challenge. And I think that shoulder-to-shoulder approach is incredibly important, particularly when, you know, we look at, Lorraine and I look at our network. Mm. But also, when you look at the wider industry, there are going to be people out there, and it's a lot of people engaged on social media these days, and they portray a lifestyle, a outcome, or a lot is built up particularly around image, where the truth behind it may not necessarily match. And, mm-hmm. and I think certainly when you look at a lot of young, I'm pigeonhole, unfortunately, a lot of young guys entering this industry, and it is an industry. Detailing is an industry. It's not a scene. It's hard work and toil. Mm-hmm. Yep, it is blood, sweat, and tears to make it and be successful. But when you see a lot of young guys entering this industry with the promised land, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, this kind of lifestyle that is born off the back of what's the word? You know, those reality TV type shows.
You know, it's got a false expectation. Yeah, those false expectations.
And I think when you see these guys kind of enter this, it can be a very rewarding, both from a satisfaction perspective in terms of when you take a car and make it look awesome, mm. But also financially rewarding industry. But there's only a small percentage of people that are going to get to detail Ferraris and Lamborghinis every single day, because there's only a finite amount of those cars out on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think it's what can happen is people enter this industry, see an opportunity to make some money and to do something they love, and then it kind of grows and expands from, well, this is something I enjoy, to it's a hobby, to it's a job, which has now got assets or debts against the business, and it's paying my salary because I've left my job. And it's a big step for people, and they're doing, we see it happening daily.
Yeah.
And then 5 months, 6 months, 12 months down the line, they're kind of, oh dear.
Yeah.
Now I've got a real beast that's putting so much pressure on me mentally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know what to do. And I think, again, that kind of comes back to what you were talking about.
It does indeed. And then you overlay into that, you know, relationship issues as well, and, you know, personal finances, you know, and we hear a lot of people who say, you know, I get home at the end of the day and crack open a bottle of wine and, you know, sit up late at night watching telly, or, you know, just immerse myself in a PlayStation game and, you know, get ratty with the kids or snap at the wife or whatever. And, you know, you compile all of that over a number of years, and that can very easily lead to, you know, real sort of situations that become very, very overwhelming. And you throw finances into the mix, and then you chuck a pandemic in there and the uncertainties and anxieties that go with that. And is it any wonder that we, you know, we've now got a whole bunch of people going, I don't know which way's left, yeah, which way's up, or any of that.
I'm still waiting for the government to tell me, yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Because there's a lot of misdirection, and people have kind of been following rules so rigidly now, I think, as well. Mm. I mean, even to the point when Monday came around when we could take masks off. Mm-hmm. We went shopping. Lorraine and I went to the shop. You know, we walked into, it was only a supermarket, and because it's personal choice now. So I chose not to wear a mask. You kind of go, I feel a bit guilty.
You feel,
yeah. I mean, I've had both vaccinations and all that kind of thing, but it's just, there's other people in the store looking
at me. I know. Yeah.
And it's just a weird scenario to be in.
No, it is. It is. I'll go back to what you mentioned there about the only way is Essex kind of analogy of, you know, what some people see as this sort of lifestyle that they want. Mm. I don't know if you saw, but there was a program about Joey Essex on the BBC fairly recently.
No, I didn't see it.
I really would implore anyone to look at it, you know, find it on iPlayer, because I probably, like a lot of people, saw that group of people and him in particular and thought, oh, you know, these are people that don't really have a talent. You know, they've been thrust into the limelight and they earn a considerable amount of money and they have this fantastic lifestyle, and yet they struggle to string a sentence together. And that's me being very judgmental based on what I saw.
Yeah, I understand.
But they did this program, and he talked very, very openly about his mental health struggles and the issues that he had. You know, his mum committed suicide, I think, when he was 9 or 10.
Oh, wow.
He was then brought up by his dad. He just happened to be sort of parachuted into this reality TV program that's made, you know, him have this fantastic life with, you know, all the trappings that come with wealth.
Yeah.
But again, he talked openly about, you know, he now lives in this amazing 5-bedroom detached house in Essex with a swimming pool and, you know, everything in it that you could ever want, and a Range Rover on the drive and a Ferrari next to it and, you know, holidays and all the rest of it. But he lives on his own and he's very, very lonely.
Yeah, there's a lot of burden there from that show.
Massive amount
of
burden. And he talked openly about he can't keep a relationship because of how he's, you know, the trauma that he's got going on from what happened to him in his life. So, you know, I suppose my point there is, don't always look at what someone else is doing and think, oh, wow, I want that life.
Yep.
Because quite often, you know, that doesn't always compute that there is, you know, stuff that's easy, you know, for them. Everyone's got their challenges.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think even to the point, and to kind of come back in terms of what you said, my point being is that people are kind of drawn to this flash lifestyle of material things, but the reality behind it, and it's what, you know, I don't drive a nice flash car and stuff of that nature, is because it's just material stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even to the point when we were talking about some challenges and we sold our house and moved house recently, it's just bricks and mortar.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that doesn't drive happiness, ultimately. Being fulfilled in your job, feeling at ease in terms of, you know, home life or whatever that situation is, seeing satisfaction on customers' faces, that's where the true wealth is,
yeah.
I think, yeah. Personally. Yeah, money has its place in the world. It enables you to go and do more things that give you joy, should we say. But yeah, it's not what is the joy driver, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely right. Absolutely right. And it's, you know, I think the pandemic has really emphasized that for people as well.
Gotcha. It
made them reevaluate what's important. I've recently started doing some volunteering at a local cancer center, at a hospital near where I live. And I was in there the other day, and there's a guy in there who's recently been diagnosed with a brain tumor. It's come on and become very aggressive very rapidly. His speech is now very slurred. He can hardly make a sentence. He knows what he wants to say, but he can't say it. And his dying wish is that his son and daughter, who don't talk to each other, would make it up just for the remaining few weeks that he's got left. And neither of them will give in. And so he gets very frustrated and very angry. And I was in there the other day and was witness to this. And I just thought, you know, and they were telling me 2 months ago, this is a guy who's got a very successful career. He's got money in the bank, mortgage paid off, him and his wife looking forward to retirement. And then suddenly, bang. You know, he's got a few headaches, went and had a diagnosis, and what they found was, and you just think, you know, that sounds very morbid and down, but it's the reality of, you know, let's live for today. Don't think about what other people are doing. Don't judge yourself on what's going on for someone else.
Yeah.
Live for today, enjoy who you are. But of course that's easy to say if you're on top of the stuff that's going on. If you're in that middle of that overwhelm phase, that's where we then say, right, don't be afraid to pick up the phone, message someone, you know, listen to a podcast, watch a YouTube video, whatever it might be that just eases your, you know, your time in sort of being thrown around all this stuff that's going on. You know, it's like your head's in a tumble dryer.
Yeah, constantly.
Constantly, yeah, it is. And if you work alone, if you are isolated, you're out in the field, you know, as I know some of your guys are,
yeah,
you know, that can be very, very difficult to you know, calculate that, really.
Yes, it's a lot of them are one-man bands, effectively. Mm. You know, that's market the business, go out and do the work, come home, do the invoicing, market the business, repeat.
Do the VAT return.
yeah, if they're VAT resistant. All of the books and it's and then posting stuff on social media and editing, and it's hours and hours and hours and hours. And we had a guy that we did some work with, and he hadn't taken a day off for 16 weeks, and you could see it on him, and he'll openly admit he was at the verge of a complete burnout. I guess really this is, again, going back to Enable, why this is such an important course.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and you know, this isn't unique to any particular job role or any body in the industry. You know, this goes from everyone at every level, and what we want to do is say to people, look, you know, wherever you are in life, you know, and whatever you're doing, you know, there are people that you can be shoulder to shoulder with, and people who will listen. You know, and maybe if that's not right for you, you know, then our intention is to create stuff, you know, content, platforms and all the rest of it, where you can just get regular hints and tips and just you know, work your way through it sort of on your own, if that's your preferred. But yeah, we're definitely on a mission to, we often say it's a scale of 1 to 10, you know, where one is sort of, you know, mildly anxious and uptight, and that could be anyone, any day of the week,
yep,
right the way through to 10. Which is, you know, literally, you know, you're standing on a bridge ready to jump. And we don't want anyone to get to that, clearly.
No, absolutely.
But 8 and 9 is probably at the point where it's overwhelming. You know, you're like I was a year ago, sitting in your garden, crying into your hands, thinking, I can't cope. You know, this is too much for me to deal with. What I think, though, having learnt through that, is that there's an awful lot of people who are between 2 and 7 on that scale.
Yeah, and probably those, quite often as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and up and down with it. You know, I might be 7 one day, but 2 the next day. And then, you know, depending on how I sleep or what I eat, or if I drink too much, and I don't drink hardly anything, but, you know, all of that stuff. Or if a bill comes in that I'm not expecting, or in my case, a letter from a solicitor because I'm going through a divorce that suddenly hits me, and I'm like, oh, you know, I was at 2 at 10 o'clock this morning. Now I'm at bloody 6 because of that.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that actually is not a bad analogy. How often do we use the phrase, oh, he's all at 6s and 7s?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of, I've just thought of that, so I'm going to use that.
So I'll write that one down. Yeah.
But that kind of works with that scale, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you're all at, you know, not at ease with yourself. And the expectation isn't that we're always going to be at 0, you know, because, you know, you're probably not alive if you're at 0, are you?
Well, so life's always got a way of throwing a curveball.
Absolutely, yeah. But it's about knowing that actually, yeah, no, today I'm at 6. So what's caused that? Is it lack of sleep? Is it overwork? Is it that unexpected bill? Is it the argument I had with the kids? Is it the, you know, the frostiness between me and my wife because of this, that, or the other? You know, is it because the dog's ill? Or is it because, you know, every traffic light was red on my journey to where I was going? Or, you know, whatever it might be. And it's recognizing all of that. And when you reach out, you know, like if I was talking to you and you suddenly come back and said, yeah, do you know what? I feel the same.
Yep.
That's the strength in what we've got.
Yep.
You know, and because of that, we'll build up a rapport and we'll build up a relationship. And if you or I are ever at a point of 8, you're now one of the people that I could pick up the phone to and say, Chris, I'm really struggling with this. I just, you know, everything's on top of me. And that's where we want to get to, because we really don't want anyone to get to 9.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Good. So, Menable, where can people find out some more about what you're doing?
Yeah, well, we've got the website, which is menable.org. You can book a 30-minute consultation on there if you want. 9 times out of 10, that's actually with me. Although, as we grow this, we've got a team of people, so you know, you'll get a contact with somebody. Genuinely, if you want some counselling or therapy, we can organise that as well. We're very close to Ben, who are the industry charity. And, you know, they are our sort of first port of call for any referrals.
Yeah.
So, yeah, menable.org is the first place. If you're on LinkedIn, feel free to connect with me. So I'm Stephen J. Witten with a PH. And you'll find me on there. And if you're already connected, you'll go, oh, no, him again, because I'm all over it. Like you probably see, You can hardly avoid me on LinkedIn.
It's not a bad thing, though.
Well, no, I mean, we're spreading the word and getting the message out there and, you know, doing what we're on a mission with that. So, yeah, you can't sit back and just expect it to happen. You've got to be proactive.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you've got to go out and wave the flag. And that's why, again, we wanted to get involved with yourselves, and we're happy to wave the flag for you as well.
Yeah. Brilliant. That's amazing. Thank you.
If that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you come down and talk with us.
Likewise. Yeah, really enjoyed it. Thank you. And thank you for your hospitality as well.
Well, we try. we will be waving the flag in the detailing industry. You know, we talk about automotive, anything to do with cars and bikes, etc. Let's call it automotive, but within our little niche, as it were.
Yeah.
Within the detailing industry, we'd be happy to wave the flag for Manable.
Yeah, fantastic.
And it's a very worthy cause. Thank you for your time, and we hope to speak to you again in the future if that's good.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve.
Take care. Thank you.